Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the Baseball Rundown with Coach Raz. I'm Ryan Lombardi, alongside the head coach of St. Bonaventure Baseball, Jason Rathbun. Coach, you guys are able to salvage the series this weekend, the first home series, and I put that in quotation marks because it was down at Mercyhurst, but you guys dropped the series 2-1 against St. Louis, but a great game Sunday.
Yeah, we put it all together on Sunday, which was nice to see, you know, the pitching and the offense. And the defense, really. All three phases came together on Sunday, and we played up to, you know, our ability and showed what we can do, and we were doing all three phases well, and, you know, we're able to get a Mercy Rule win to kind of finish off that series and try to get us some momentum going in the conference.
Yeah, I mean, you guys Sunday, you know, take a 14-3 win, put it all together, get that seven-inning Mercy Rule, the travel day. So able to get that done, but Edgar Paulino, probably his best start, so far as a Bonnie.
Yeah. I think he was really good against Navy as well.
Right.
You know, he's had some good starts. The stuff's electric, you know, when he's going and he's feeling good, he's very difficult to hit. He was, you know, topping out at 94 this past weekend. So, it was good to see. It's probably the hardest he's thrown this year. But yeah, he was great.
Probably the most he's thrown to 113 pitches. You know, it's getting to the end of March now. You can kind of start working your starters later into games.
Yeah, I think we were trying to, you know, get that Mercy Rule, you know, so we left him out there to go out there for the seventh. He had been cruising. So, unfortunately, you know, they snuck one out to center field to kind of extend it a little bit. But thankfully, we were able to grab that run back in the bottom and finish it off.
Right. Antonio Cordero had a double to kind of cap it. It was like a walk-off, but not an actual walk-off with a two-run double that kind of sealed the game. But all around, I mean, the offense just clicked. Chris Holcraft had two hits. Anthony Fernandez continues to impress. He had three hits just on Sunday. Cordero had three hits. Christian LaMoth had two hits and five RBIs in that game as well.
Yeah, Christian had a big game. You know, he had a home run and a double. I think the double was with bases loaded too. So he had a big day, and you know, we've talked about it on the podcast, what we thought of Christian and realizing that he's young, you know, he's a freshman. He's not going to be great every game, but you know, he's definitely had his impact and he's been a valuable piece of our lineup. And he's actually done really well defensively at first base too. It was kind of a little bit of a question mark, but he's played well over there. And it was good to see kind of, you know, that home run was Oppo Field, and then the double was Oppo. So
right.
He's you know, used in all parts of the field and, you know, a very talented young kid for us.
Let's quickly touch on games one and two. You drop game one by a score of 7-5 and game three by a score of 6-3. And, I mean, that's just exactly what we've kind of been talking about on this podcast is, you know, these games where you're falling just short, you just can't put it all together with the offense and the pitching in one game. So game one, you get a solid start out of David James. He only gives up two earned runs, five runs total, and also has 10 strikeouts through six innings.
Yeah, I feel bad for DJ. He's given us a chance to win every Friday, and we just haven't been able to get him a win. Whether it's made, you know, we've made a defensive error that hasn't helped him or, you know, haven't scored runs, but I think every start that he's been out there, he has been really good for us. So, you know, hopefully we can put it together on a Friday and get him a win because he's given us a chance and he's been really, really consistent all year. And he's really developed. You know, he's a kid that last year we had faith in. We liked the stuff. The numbers weren't great. You know, a full year in the program now, you see the kind of turnaround he's had numbers-wise, and he's putting up a great year.
Yeah, and then fast forward to Saturday, I thought Nolan battled out there again. He went 6 3, just 4 earned runs, had 8 strikeouts, giving up 6 hits, 6 runs total. But again, just with him, I feel like the problem's been a little bit of the command.
Yeah, no doubt. When he gave up runs, he fell behind in the count or walked a guy. We didn't, you know, we didn't make a couple plays behind him that hurt as well. But yeah, I mean, there's some parts of his game that he has to clean up still, and we're discussing it with him. But I think with Edgar and Nolan, it's really about just pounding the zone and trusting their stuff. If they do that, you know, they have the stuff to get guys out. They really get into trouble when they hurt themselves with free passes.
Yeah, and over the weekend, you only used six pitchers, seven pitchers, sorry. You used three pitchers in game one, two pitchers, and two pitchers. So the bullpen was rested heading into this week.
Yeah, you know, we're getting good starts, so that limits how many arms you're using in a game. And, you know, ideally, that's great. I mean, if you're getting good starts and you only got to use one guy in the bullpen, you know, that's just a plus for us to allow us to use different guys in midweek games and, you know, try to get some wins there. But, you know, in general, the pitching staff has done a good job this year.
And just kind of walk me through that game two on Saturday, because you guys string together nine hits, only are able to push across three runs, but also worked four walks. So you were on base, just couldn't really string anything together, it seemed like.
I think it's just kind of missing that big hit. You know, I think that's been the issue this year, really, is, you know, we just haven't gotten the big hit. I mean, we had a chance, tying run or the go-ahead run coming to the plate in the eighth and ninth, and just didn't get the big hit, you know. And, you know, I think in the last inning, it was with our number three and our number four hitter up, you know, and unfortunately, we just didn't get the job done, but we're right there. You know, I think if you look, you know, at these games and in the scores that we've had, like, we've been in every game, you know, except
100%.
Up, you know, up until like the Marshall series, the last two games of the Marshall. But, you know, George Mason was 4-3, 15-11, 3-0, St. Louis 7-5, 6-3. You know, those we're right in every game, and we're just hoping that those moments happen for us where we can break through and get the wins. But, you know, if you compare it to like last year, our first series against Richmond, we lost 12-0, 21-7, 18-11, you know, and then we played George Mason and lost 21-2, 14-5, you know, before we got our first win at 7-3, like those games were blowouts, you know, where this year, every conference game we've had, we've been in within a run or two late, you know, and just haven't found that big hit at times. But there's a lot of conference games left. It's good to be in games. We were in another dogfight last night. So, you know, we're playing good baseball. The gap is closing in these games. We just got to find a way to get the win.
Yeah, let's talk about that game last night. You guys traveled to Penn State. Heard it was dollar dog night, so a lot of fans in attendance. I think they had an attendance almost 2,500 people in attendance last night. So probably one of the bigger stages your guys have gotten to play on this season. And that was a game you guys led at 1.52 in.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great atmosphere. The fans really showed out. They love their dollar dog night. But they're, you know, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise coming into the dugout. And, you know, our guys did a good job in the fourth inning putting up doubles. Like, felt like it was back-to-back-to-back-to-back doubles to score five runs. And, you know, have that 5-2 lead in the fourth. They answered with two runs in the bottom of the fourth. You know, felt pretty good. You know, especially when we added one in the seventh. You know, the seventh inning, it's, you know, 6-4 going into the bottom of the seventh. You know, and then they scored three, which, you know, made the game down one instead of, you know, being up two. It was a difference maker. That seventh inning kind of cost us. And then they added an insurance run in the eighth. But, you know, it was a close game, well played. We had the lead there for seven innings. So, again, just about finding a way to win. You know, I think that's kind of been the story this year. Like, we're playing a lot of close games. I think the talent level has gotten a lot closer. That gap has really reduced. But, unfortunately, we just haven't put enough wins on the board.
Yeah, all around. I mean, you get to use a bullpen game, so some of the guys that didn't throw over the weekend got into the game. You got Eamon Giblin went inning and third, and, you know, scattered three hits, but was able to work out of it on scratched. And then Calabretti also two thirds with no earned runs.
Yeah, it was Eamon's first appearance, his first college appearance, really, against Penn State,
right.
He had a little bit of shoulder issue in the beginning of the year. Didn't even travel the first couple weeks because his arm was kind of behind everyone else. And finally got to the point now where he's feeling better and healthy. So we were able to get him out there, and I thought he did a really nice job. You know, I thought he threw strikes and was able to throw off-speed pitch for strikes. So, you know, he's a talented kid. He's an athlete. We think he can definitely help us on the mound this year. So it was good to get him out there against, you know, your first outing is against Penn State. That's a
pretty
tough
big
task.
Deal.
Yeah, and he did a good job. So excited to see what he can give us going forward.
All right, let's look ahead to the weekend because you guys are playing one of the top teams in the Atlantic 10 this weekend, VCU, but a team of recent years have had some success against.
We have. We've done well against VCU. It's a tough task, though. They've really got a strong team this year. They've got a Friday night guy that's really good. It's a Kansas transfer on the mound, and he's put up some really impressive numbers this year. So they've played well. You know, they're doing really well in the conference. I think they're 5-1. So, you know, it's somebody that we're going to have to play well and find a way to win game there, win a couple games and try to find a way to take the series and get back in this mix. But they're a good team, man, on the road, 7 weeks in a row on the road for us. So, you know, it's been a long grind. But, you know, the way we've been playing, we feel like we're going to be in these games with our pitching staff. We feel like we're going to keep the games close, and hopefully we can pull out a couple wins.
We got to talk about Anthony Fernandez and the kind of the X factor that he's been for this team. He's batting .400 at the moment, 8 doubles, a home run, and is just has 13 RBIs and has just found tremendous success at the plate. Saw you flipped him and Chris Holcraft back. Holcraft back in the leadoff spot. He's now in the three hole, so hopefully he'll start picking up some more RBIs. But hit 2 doubles at Penn State last night. Just how impactful has he been for this squad?
Yeah, we did a little lineup change on Sunday where we moved Chris out of the three spot. You know, Chris being a senior, being here for 4 years, somebody we were kind of leaning on has been in that three spot. Just hasn't come up with a hit here or there when we really needed it. So wanted to just take a little pressure off him, move him back up to the leadoff. And Anthony's been really clutch for us. So just slide Anthony down in the three, maybe get some more RBI opportunities. And it's kind of paid off these first couple games with the switch. So Anthony's been great. It doesn't surprise me, obviously, his preparation. I think there's areas of his game that he can still improve on for sure.
Right.
He's still learning, but very talented kid.
And then even Christian Lamont, the freshman, has really emerged. I mean, he's batting .294, 15 hits and 51 at-bats this season, and has also drove in 10 runs as well.
Yeah, I think number-wise, if you look at the numbers, we've got some guys that are having good years. You know, Castro's hitting .337 with 10 doubles and 3 home runs. Lamont as a freshman hitting .294 with 2 home runs and some doubles and 10 ribbies. And, you know, Chris has been over that .300 mark. Kind of had a tough weekend, so he's down to .283 right now, but has, you know, pretty much been over .300 most of the year. And Connor's gotten hot, raised his average quite a bit. So, you know, we've got 5 or 6 guys that are putting together good years for us offensively. It's just about stacking those days, you know, finding 2 or 3 guys to be on in the same day. We're you know, producing some runs.
And then just on the pitching staff, I mean, we touched on DJ. David James, 3.23 ERA, leads the team in innings, 30 2/3, has only given up 11 earned runs through those 31 innings, and has not really had the backing of the defense in those starts. 11 unearned runs he's given up, which, you know, sometimes we've talked about it, contribute to those earned runs, but he's really just having a phenomenal year.
He is. I mean, 3.23 ERA is really good in Division I baseball. I mean, it's, you know, there's a lot of hitting going on, so I think, you know, Enger with a 4.00 too, you know,
right.
Those are 2 starters with really good ERAs, and Nolan at a 4.6 isn't terrible. You know, he'd be our lowest ERA starter last year. So, you know, I think those three have got good ERAs, you know, and they have, like I said, you know, we talked about earlier, they've been able to extend games. So we're not using a ton of arms out of the bullpen. We're able to just kind of get it to one guy or maybe two. So Those three guys have definitely give us a chance when they toe the rubber.
Yeah, and my favorite stat here for David James, opponents hitting just .200 off him in his appearances. So that's pretty impressive as well.
Yeah, no doubt.
But, Coach, just looking ahead to the home opener on Tuesday, you guys will take on Binghamton. Just kind of what are you seeing from them? You guys already saw them this year, lost 15-9 at their place, but you get another crack at them, especially on the home opener at the brand-new Fred Handler Park.
Well, obviously, I'm close with that coaching staff. I've known them for a long time. For them to be our first home game in the new stadiums is definitely special. I'm glad it's them. You know, historically, our games with them have been really close. So, you know, we're hoping for a close game. We can find a way to get the dub at home with our first game. So, you know, start off the Easter weekend right before we welcome George Washington in. So, you know, it's a nice little five-game stretch at home between Binghamton, George Washington, and then Canisius. So, excited to get home and play on the new field.
No, definitely. I mean, it looks amazing. If you guys have not seen it, you got to check Twitter. You got to check it out. The dark Bonnie Brown, like, looks just so good.
Yeah.
On the field.
Somebody said it last night on X that, you know, the pictures don't really do it justice either. Like, the pictures look great. But once you're here and you see it in person, it's like, whoa. It's really impressive. It's really come together. The vision that we've had for the field and, you know, different parts of it, you know, even like the mountain logo behind home plate, like to look out and see the mountain right there. And, you know, just all the little pieces that we've, you know, we're really particular about have turned out great. So it's
amazing.
It looks great.
Yeah. I was just talking to one of your assistant coaches, Jackson John, obviously former player here. And he's like, I'm so jealous. Like, I was sending pictures to my mom and, you know, so, you know, other players, you know, former players, like, looking at it, they're jealous of it. And, no, the field looks awesome and really happy for you guys.
No, I think that we have, you know, some very attractive facilities to show recruits now. You know,
yeah.
I think if we bring them down to the field, show them the new stadium, walk them over to the new locker room, show them our indoor complex, like, we've got some facilities now that I feel like we can show off and be really proud of, you know, where I think – in the past, I don't think we've ever even shown a recruit our shared locker room in the past, you know, because we were sharing it with soccer. So it was kind of something we skipped over in the tour part. So, you know, now it'll be a focal point. So, you know, between the field and locker room, indoor space, and obviously the beautiful campus in general, you know, I think that we have something that can attract better recruits, better players, and continue the task of improving the program and getting back to where we want to be.
Love that, Coach. Well, best of luck this weekend as you guys travel down to VCU. Very good squad in the A-10 this year. And then obviously the home opener at Binghamton. If you're nearby, have to come check out the field and come to the home opener. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Best of luck, Coach. We'll talk to you guys next week right here on the Baseball Rundown brought to you by the Bonnies Online Network. Have a great week, everybody.